We're looking forward to hearing what Rico has for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray for him. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for Rico, Father God. Lord, that he's a servant, Father God, not only in the kitchen, but out here, Father God. He serves in the physical side, the spiritual side, and just every side. And Father, we appreciate everything that he does, Father God, because we know he's doing it to you, Father God. But Lord, we reap the benefits of a good breakfast out of this, and now we're going to reap the benefits of getting a good word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay,
before I start and even say the title, I just want to see a show of hands. Who's saved in here? Everybody should go up, right? Okay, so knowing that you're saved, all of you guys are, for the most part, are baptized. So you guys all believe that you have the Spirit in you, right? Now, in saying that, already when you look at the world and how they would view us, it sounds crazy, right? You know, viewing it through the eyes of the world. So, before I go through the title, I'm going to explain something to you. We say that we have the Holy Spirit in us and that we're saved. How many people, when they think of the Holy Spirit living within them, if anybody wants to say something, say it, please. How do you view that? How do you see the Holy Spirit in you? Like, do you see him as a cloud? How many people do that? Or rain? I mean, we hear these things that associate the Holy Spirit with things like wind and or the rain and stuff like that. But how many people actually view the Holy Spirit as a person? That's how we're supposed to see him. And so now knowing that the Holy Spirit is a person, think of it this way. We ask and we pray. I know a lot of us do. I know I've done this many times, and I still continue to. We pray for gifts, right? Holy Spirit gives us gifts, yep. Right? So think of a friend or a family member, somebody that you've grown with and become very close with. You know, you guys get each other Christmas gifts and gifts like that, right? Or gifts for their birthday, things like that, right? If you guys did not know each other or even have a relationship, would you give that? Would you even think to give that person a gift? Probably not, right? So if we're looking for a gift from the Holy Spirit, what are we doing in making that effort to have that relationship with that person? Are we asking for gifts and not putting the effort forward that we're supposed to and gaining a relationship that's close that would warrant this person giving you a gift? Just things to ponder on and think about. So, knowing that it sounds crazy from the world, the title of today is "The Napkin Proves I'm an Alien."
The what?
The napkin proved that I'm an alien. Isn't that crazy? Yep. I even have like a little UFO flying around it. So, to explain that to you guys, I have this napkin that I found in my Bible because I was actually struggling trying to find what to teach on. I had all these notes and all these different things. I was like, oh, I could find something in all of this. I've studied a lot of things in scriptures, and I continue to, and I was having a hard time putting things together. It's crazy. It was like very, very hard, and it just seemed like the more and more I try to do something, put it together, I was like, it didn't work. And then I started, and then something in my head came up. It's like, did you even pray before you even started this? Did you even ask for help? Did you even tap on your best friend, you know, the Holy Spirit, to even intercede in here for you and help you out and guide you in this? And that's when I kind of like hit a wall, and I was like, oh my goodness, I did not. How did I not think to do that, you know? And it's something that we should actually, in all reality, think about all the time, you know, and even sometimes the smallest decisions that we make. So then out of nowhere, I started praying and stuff, and I started, then I saw this napkin, like, in my Bible, like, it's like, making it all bulgy and stuff. I was like, man, I got to clean this Bible. It's got all kinds of notes and things in there and stuff, and even stuff that is, like, there's nothing, it's no reason it should be in there. I probably put it in there because I grabbed something, put it in there because I was talking to somebody or something like that, and just threw it in there. So I just started throwing all kinds of stuff out, throwing it away, cleaning everything out of it. And then I came across this big bulging napkin that was inside of the Bible. And it was actually on I'm going to read the scripture first, which is I wrote it in the bottom here, and it's crazy because I put on here 1 John 2:15, and then under that it says for teaching. I don't know why. I don't even remember writing this, in all honesty. It's my handwriting, but I don't remember at all. I mean, maybe I kind of want to say that maybe I wrote this when Milton Resch, I think that's how you say his name, was here, I think. But maybe somebody, after I read this, somebody can say, oh, yeah, that sounds like it was, maybe not, I don't know. But anyways, I'm going to go with this, and I'm going to read you 1 John 2:15. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love the Father. Love for the Father is not in them. So that's pretty crazy and, like, really, really hard. Like, if when you look at that, you know, and not realizing what he means by the world, a lot of people think that that means, you know, the world, you know, us, you know. And if you read in a lot of scripture, and this is where I came up with this title, proving that I'm an alien, is that it tells us in the scripture that we are not of this world, you know, that we're not from here. We are foreigners in this world. And what I mean by that in the world and what I'm talking about is the world being viewed that as the realm of sin. You know, the things that are enticing the world that are not righteous or not of God, that lead to more sin or more evil type stuff or wicked things. So I wrote in here, and I put on here, I want my walk to be more than just being saved. I want to be more than just being forgiven. I want to show my thankfulness. I want to demonstrate my walk in Christ. I want to be morally pure and have integrity. And then it says, I am strong in Christ. So I wrote that, and then that scripture is attached to there, and I started really thinking about this, and I started tapping into the tools that I learned in Bible study on Thursdays from Pastor Don on how to, you know, applying how you do scripture, but to this, you know, how you read scripture, look at the context, look at, break it down, even how Bob does, breaking down sometimes word for word, spending 15 minutes on a letter sometimes, you know.
Only 15?
Yeah, that's a letter. So I started looking at this, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to break down everything that I wrote on here, and so I'm going to start off with, I want my walk to be more than just being saved. So in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, it says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So, you know, this is saying, okay, we're saved. We've tasted that God is real. God is good. That, you know, everything that he says is true, right? So at this point, you know, it tells us crave for more. Crave for that spiritual milk. Crave to learn more. You know, and I don't have this in here, but I know in home group I talked about a scripture that it talks about searching for the Lord, like as in for gold or silver and treasure and stuff like that, right? That's what I think about when I hear that, crave pure spiritual milk. Search for God. Search, you know, when you think that you can't understand, when you think that you're going through a lot of things and you don't realize, you don't understand why, or you want to blame others or different things, why am I in this position? Go to that Holy Spirit. Go to God and look like if it's, like your life depended on it, you know, look for that treasure so that way you can grow from that and move on forward instead of hitting that same bump in the road. So, again, I said I want my walk to be more than just being saved. So, how do you do that? How do you start? I know that's one thing that I ask, I know I'm sure other people ask too, when you get saved, you know, what's next, you know? Well, a good thing to start is obviously, you know, you find a church and everything, but get involved, serve, right? What does it mean to serve? You know, It doesn't only mean being an usher or being on the worship team. It doesn't mean that you have to be straight out of salvation and become a pastor, you know, or anything like that. Sometimes it means you see something on the floor or somebody pick it up, or somebody that has a crying baby and you know that you're good with babies, go help calm the baby down. You know, it means you see somebody being overwhelmed in the kitchen or somebody having a hard time with technology. I mean, just do it, you know. That's serving, you know. Don't look at serving as trying to achieve a title. Don't look at serving as trying to be, I mean, it's good to try to strive to be something more, but look at it as you're doing this for, like, I know it's hard to think of it that way, but you're doing it for God. It doesn't matter who's watching, you know what I mean? Don't worry about none of that stuff. And the less you do, the more things happen. You know, the less you focus on what the outcome is, you know, and focus on just that particular moment where you're called to serve, you'll see things happen and the desires that are truly in your heart, that they're not bad. It's just that sometimes the way you get there, the motives that you used to get there are bad. And so sometimes you got to take a step back and let God show you, let God lead you, you know, in doing the things. Like, and I don't have this scripture either, but it just came to head. The where you're trusted with small things, you know, he who is trusted with small, you know, will be trusted with more.
Right.
So that's how you got to look at it. It's like, okay, God, if you're calling me to go spot mop the bathroom because there's a nasty stain that for me, it's like even at home, I would so attack that right now. Do it, you know, don't just leave it there, you know, or like you see a piece of, you know, garbage, or somebody left, you know, somebody put water all over the sink, and you're like, man, this is nasty. Man, instead of thinking, or instead of following those thoughts that go in your head saying, I wonder who did that, you know, and you start imagining people who would do that, or stuff like that. Instead of doing that, grab the freak, yeah. You know, a napkin and clean it up, you know? And, so those are the things that you got to think about. You want your walk to be more than just being saved. I know everybody does. You know, nobody wants to just be saved. When I hear like Pastor Don talk about, you know, if I get into heaven and I got fire on my, you know, on my butt or something like that, and I'm happy, you know. Yes, I'm happy too, but I want more than that. You know? And that's what you got to want more, and the more you want, the more you're going to want to be Christ-like, the more you're going to want to strive to be better, you know? So another thing I put on here, help those in need, which I kind of said. And then share your salvation, you know, share it with people. You know, and it doesn't mean go out and always go out in the streets like you hear people evangelizing, sharing what God did to them. I mean, that's good, but sometimes it means, you know, being a better friend than your friend is to you. And then in those moments, the Holy Spirit will lead you to that point where you can say, they will ask you, why is it that you seem like you got it all together? Or why is it that it seems like things are working out for you? You know, and so then that opens that door, and then you can speak on your salvation. You know, and then that will speak way more to that person than to people that are in the world and don't want to leave the world. You know what I mean? So it shows you, it's like the Holy Spirit is telling you, look, there's an end right now. This is your chance, you know. And you'll understand and see it when it happens. Study Scripture. Hunger to learn more, which I kind of said. But studying Scripture, studying Scripture is very hard. And, you know, I kind of said this in home group too. You have to, like, I went to Detroit Public Schools, and I didn't have the best teachers, you know, I didn't have the best education, and I don't even have a degree. And like I said in home group, I had everybody in my job has a master's or higher. But somehow, some way, obviously God is the reason why. It's not anything that I did. It's not because I'm some super genius, because I'm not. It's not anything at all that I could do, because you try hard, and sometimes it seems like it's not working out, and it's because you're trying on your own, and that's what you have to realize is you're not on your own. You're saved. You say you've invited the Holy Spirit inside of you. Use that tool to your advantage. And that's what you guys got to, we have to realize that. We have to realize that you can use it for more than you think, too. It's not just to get good at one thing. It's not. It's for everything in life. That's your tool for everything. Even putting your pants on at times for some people. You know, I mean, that it's serious. And so these are the types of things you want your walk to be more than just being saved. Think you got to think like that. Think how it says in Scripture. And to do that, obviously, you have to study Scripture. To study Scripture, you have to gain knowledge. You have to gain knowledge by applying yourself, and you almost have to force yourself to work, you know. And it's hard because nobody likes to do homework. Nobody likes to study, you know, most of the time. You have to learn, and you'll gain a passion the more and more you learn, because as you learn and as you study, you start, it's almost like just sheets start coming off your eyes, and layer by layer, as you learn more and more, and then it's almost like every time you learn something new, it's almost like motivating you to learn more, driving you to gain more. And then you realize that, you know, that looking back at that scripture that when you did back then, you're like, wow, there's so much more that I wish I would have been able to see back then. But obviously, things are done for a reason, you know. Go ahead.
I'm so glad that you're saying a lot of stuff that you because yesterday, I'm going to talk about yesterday. I was asking God certain things, and I love my church. I love my pastors. I love my leaders, because they do encourage us to go beyond. I remember a time where Pastor Don was asking me to do something, and he was asking me to be humble. And to do something that I didn't, I couldn't see what it meant. He asked me to ask somebody for forgiveness, or, you know, to say I'm sorry or whatever. And I remember when I did it, I didn't want to do it. I was crying. I was screaming. I remember being at home saying, I don't even know where to start with this person, you know. So I was just crying out to God and asking him to help me, because I don't understand. And he had me take the phone, and I called this person to tell them, you know, please forgive me, like Pastor Don had asked me to do. And I literally felt a wall fall. I literally felt bricks falling down. And I called, and I hung up with the person, and there was like a rejoicing. There was I don't know, I can't explain it, but I immediately called Pastor Don. And at that day, my husband was with Pastor Don, and I was yelling. I was yelling, and my husband was like, oh, my gosh. I was yelling at him because I didn't want to do something. So anyway, I called him, and I said to him what I had done, and I told him I felt a wall break. And he said, Esther, you were obedient. You did what I asked you to do. Well, yesterday, I was asking God, because my husband said something to me that took me back to when I was a kid. And you learn so much from your parents that you don't understand. And I kept saying to him, I don't understand why I don't smile. You know, there's a lot of people that will come up to me and say, why aren't you smiling? The only thing that I could think of was Kim's face. And I kept saying to God, touch, you know, sprinkle something on me. Do something, you know, touch me so that I can have that smile. All I could think of was the Kim. And I was by the water. Yes, this Kim. And I was by the water, and I was just asking him, you know, what do I do to change that? What do I do? And this has been a cry of my heart for a very long time, for years, to be honest, because I know that, you know, my parents didn't know, but the look that they gave me was the same look that I carry. And I have to break that. And I know that he's going to help me break that. But it's a mindset that needs to be changed to begin that process. It is a mindset, and it's all through teaching and being encouraged. And what I was asking God, a lot of the stuff he is confirming, or even the prayers upstairs, were more confirmation of saying, you're okay, Esther. You know, you're going to get there, and it is going to be you doing a lot of work. you are going to have to do a lot of work. You will do certain things to break that. Because I felt a wall break yesterday. There was a wall break broken because of something my husband and I went through. But I could feel when I went back home, there was a wall broken. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful because I'm here. I'm thankful that they have encouraged me to push forward when I thought that I can't, or that I couldn't be loved, or that I couldn't bless somebody, or that I began scrubbing toilets. And I can be honest with you, I love scrubbing toilets now. I used to didn't like it. I thought I was a slave, but I'm not. I'm a slave to Christ. And he has taught me to enjoy to scrub a toilet, or to scrub somebody's feet if I have to, or to do whatever he's called me to do. That was my beginning, and I don't have an education, and I am a business owner. I'm a profitable business owner. My husband and I are, God has blessed us tremendously because of for serving him and being here in this church.
Amen.
So thank you, Esther. That was awesome. So why I put out here, why do this? You know, why should we want to be like this more than just being saved? And, I mean, there's a good answer right there. Look at what God's doing in her life. You know, it's amazing. And Esther is, you are an amazing woman.
Amen.
You are. And yes. And you have an amazing husband to back you up. You guys are always, I'm just going to say it, I always looked up to you guys. So I always look up to you guys. And I appreciate the time that we had together. So moving on, I put on here 1 Peter 2:4-5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So in doing what we do, in doing this, in serving, in helping, in doing what God has calling us to do, in strengthening our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we're basically creating the sacrifice that we need that God says is acceptable to him. And that's a good reason right there alone to strive to do that. Now, this is not all inclusive, or, you know, there's more things that I can go on about to do that, but these are just things that I know that I try to do, and I think about when I see this, or when I read this. So I'm going to move on to the next statement I said on here. I want to be more than just being forgiven. And Esther kind of touched on that a little bit. I'm going to read Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So then I have a point out here. Forgive others, even if you feel that they don't deserve it. Even if you feel that they don't deserve it. It's not about what you feel. You can't go off of those emotions. Sometimes they are liars, those emotions. And you have to treat them like a liar and reject it. Where to start with that? Forgiving. Because it's hard sometimes. It's hard. You can't just, it's hard. I don't know anyone that could just automatically just forgive right off the bat, you know, and they're just learning how to do this. You have to learn. You have to study. So where do you start? I've asked this question before in certain situations, and I was told, start with yourself. You know, start with yourself. You're not perfect. You don't have to be. We weren't made perfect. You're okay. You're better than you think. That's what you have to tell yourself. That's what I had to tell myself. I'm better than I was told. That's another one. Better than what they say. Forgive your mom. It's hard for some people that have that struggle. Forgive your dad. You know, that's something that for me was pretty hard. My dad and my mom split. And I didn't realize the effects that, I mean, I realized the effects that split did, but I didn't realize how sometimes things happen and it's out of your control. And I blame both of them. And because of that, our relationship suffered, you know? Forgive your family, everyone else, you know? Nobody's perfect, so you can't hold nobody to a higher standard, and you shouldn't even hold them to the standard that you're holding yourself, because you don't know what they're going through. You don't know where they've been or what they're currently struggling through that they're not telling you, because it's hard sometimes to be honest with everyone with everything that we're going through. I'll be the first one to say that. It is hard. That's struggling with my dad. I had to, like, to his face, I was like, I still loved him, you know, but in my heart, I knew that something happened, and I don't understand what happened, but you messed up. That's how I thought. I don't want to be like that. It drove me not to want to be like that. It drove me to, I used to say to myself all the time growing up, when I get married, I'm not going to get a divorce. And then it happened. And if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't realize that I still had to forgive my dad. You know, so in a way, in a sense, that's one reason to be thankful. And obviously, there's more reasons for me to be thankful for going through what I went through, but that helped me break chains that were holding me back with my relationship with my dad. And now me and my dad have a lot closer relationship. We're not where I would have wanted to be, you know, but I love my dad. He loves me. And it's not hard for me no more to be with him, you know. So it used to be hard, you know. And so that's somewhere to start in forgiving. Another place is share how God has forgiven you. And again, like I said up here, as far as share your salvation, it's the same way. People are going through struggles just like you are. Sometimes God puts the certain people in your life that are going through very similar struggles. And sometimes it sucks thinking about it, looking at it this way, airing your dirty laundry. But sometimes that dirty laundry is what ends up bringing that person to salvation, bringing that person to the point where they're willing to humble themselves and confess their issues. Okay, so I'm going to move on to the next one. I want to show my thankfulness. Again, you're going to hear some of the same things. How do you show your thankfulness? One way is serving. Again, see how important serving is? I mean, it's so important that Jesus left that very example for us many times. No matter the capacity, like I said before, and of who is watching, no matter who's watching. And I said, and then I put on here, what's more important is being obedient in that serving. Even if, like, you know, now this is, think of it as somebody that's saved and is trying to serve. Be obedient to that serving, even if you don't like it. You know, sometimes you're going to do things, you know, and, you know, like when I first started, like I said, in home group, when I first started doing cooking, and stuff, I started doing setups and stuff and helping wherever the help was needed. And then I got to cook and stuff, and I enjoyed it. And I got to, but the most important thing that I got out of serving, you know, even though maybe I didn't want to do setup and I wanted to just cook, you know, but by doing that, by doing setup, doing cooking, I was able to talk to people. I was able to develop relationships, you know, and get to hear people say things that I needed to hear. A lot of time, almost every time that I came to serve, I heard something that I needed to hear. Or somebody else heard something that he needed to hear, gaining breakthrough and causing not only a strength in our relationships, but also a strength in our relationship with God. Serving is very, very awesome, and it actually blesses us more than you think and more than you see. Now, I also put on here, strive to be a better you than yesterday. striving to be better, striving to do what's right. You know, that's what God has called us to do, to be, you know, to strive to be better. That's a way you can show thankfulness, because when you strive to be better, you strive to become more obedient. And so, and then on top of that, showing thankfulness, obviously everyone knows praising and worshiping God, but again, even when no one's looking, it's not a show for nobody, but for God. You know, that's what's important. Don't worry about how you look. Don't worry about who's watching you. Nothing like that. It's you and God, you know. I put out here, God loves the aroma obedience leaves behind. And I have a scripture, but I'm going to end with that scripture in a little bit.
Say that last verse you just said, or that last thing.
God loves the aroma obedience leaves behind. The next thing I put on here, I want to demonstrate my walk in Christ. First thing, when you say that, the first thing that comes to me is not to others. Again, not to others. Nobody else but God is who you're going to demonstrate that walk to. Make to God, make it important. Make it personal. Make it so personal, like this is a priority. This is what I need to do. I need to show God that I'm for real, that I am serious, and I want to be as serious as he is about his promises to me. How are ways that you do that? Again, serving, faithfully serving, not just on Sunday or even Wednesday for that matter. Serving doesn't mean only serving in here. It also means serving others. It also means, this is a hard one, it also means doing what it takes to take a load off your wife. It is. It is. And again, vice versa. Yeah, you're right. Or your husband. No. You're right.
I did. I gave him a baby-free 11 days.
But think about this. Think about this. Even at work, you know, you see that your supervisor's really stressed out and he's got all these deadlines to do. And you know that you could take that one task that he has that he's stressing out about and do it in 5 minutes.
Yep.
Do it. Yeah. Do it. And then present it to him. Say, here you go, boss. So you can present it to your boss. You know? Don't worry about trying to look better. It's not about that. Don't worry about that. It's helping. Serving others. You know, being a better example to them than they are to you. Now, I can go more about serving, but I think I've hit it a lot, so I'm going to keep on moving on. I want to be morally pure and have integrity. That's another thing I wrote on here. First thing is, you have to know that morals were set forth and given in Scripture. That's where they came from. Morals meaning what's right and wrong, what's good and bad. However, whatever angle you want to look at it, that's what it is. It is that. What God says is right, what God says is wrong. And apply those morals to your life. How do you do that? You start by reflecting, simple, start by reflecting on the day. At the end of the day, or at the beginning of the next morning, if you can remember. I can't remember nothing, so I had to do it at the end of the day when I'm praying. I reflect on my day, that day. The whole day. Everything. Sometimes I reflect in the middle of the day because I've done so much that I'm like, man, I'm not going to be able to review all this in my head later. And in reflecting on that day, you know, applying those morals. Was it right? Was it wrong? Sometimes you have to apply these morals in that situation, but sometimes I know we have emotions, we have feelings that we think about, and they flare up, and they block us from seeing what's morally right, what's morally wrong. So sometimes that's why I say reflect. because we have emotions in us. No one's perfect. We're going to mess up. If somebody says they're not going to mess up, they are a liar.
Father, we had somebody here on Thursday that never messes up, didn't we?
Yes, I guess there are people without sin, but I'm not one of them.
Okay, I'm about to finish up, so I'm going to keep on going here. So attach to that reflecting on your day, attaching love, or I like to say like the law of love on everything you have said or done or are not doing. So by attaching love, by attaching the morals, you know, it's going to help get you in check. So that way the next day you can apply those solutions and not go through what you went through yesterday. That's how you start in becoming morally pure, a good way to start and have integrity. You know, integrity is a word I learned a long time ago, not long enough, when I joined the military. That was part of their motto, the Air Force's, it was integrity first. And integrity first, they defined it as, which is pretty good, is doing what is right even when no one is looking. I like that a lot, and it's crazy because I want to say that whoever invented this in the Air Force's motto was possibly Christian, because that's all Christian derived. You have to be truthful to yourself in doing this, in trying to be morally pure and have integrity. You have to be truthful to yourself and to God, most importantly. I put on here because I quoted saying the law of love type thing. You know, the scripture gives us what love is. And I know everyone's heard it, but I'm going to read it again. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Apply that to your reflection and fix it. That's what we got to do. That's a good cheat sheet right there alone to apply to your life and a good place to start in becoming that better you that God has destined you to become. That he sees you as right now.
Amen.
And then the last thing I put on there, I am strong in Christ. But I kind of changed it on mine. I said, I am being made strong in Christ. Because I don't feel like I'm as strong as I should be. And I think I can always do better.
Amen.
And I'm going to strive for that until the day I die.
Yes.
And I end that with Ephesians 5:1-2. Follow God's example, therefore, a dearly loved children. As dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, I read that out of the NIV. The NLT gives you a little bit more and actually shows you what I said earlier about the aroma and obedience to God. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God.
Yes.
That's where I got that God loves the aroma obedience leaves behind, because Jesus was the most obedient person in the world.
Yes.
Ever. So that's it.
Amen. Give him a hand. Thank you, Rico.
Welcome.
Pastor Don,
I'll be more than happy to. You know, during your message, the thing that kept going through my mind, what can I do for you? You know, the walking right, using God. And an old song came up. Go take you back down memory lane, Chief. Bob Dylan, when he wrote three albums that were Christian. But this song kept going through my mind. It was called What Can I Do For You? It says, you gave me everything. What can I do for you? You have given me eyes to see. What can I do for you? Pulled me out of bondage, and you made me renewed inside. Filled up a hunger that had always been denied. Opened up a door no man could shut, and you opened it up so wide. and you've chosen me to be among the few. What can I do for you? It's as soon as a man is born, you know the sparks begin to fly. He gets wise in his own eyes, and he's made to believe in a lie. Who would deliver him from the death he's bound to die? Well, you've done it all, and there's no more anyone can pretend to do. What can I do for you? And the last verse says, I know all about passion. I know all about fiery darts. I don't care how rough the road is. Show me where it starts. Whatever pleases you, tell it to my heart. Well, I don't deserve it, but I sure didn't make it through. Well, I sure did make it through. What can I do for you? You know, and I just kept thinking, and I think that's the cry of everyone here, you know, that we're not satisfied where we're at. We want to do more. We want to do more. You know, when we realize what he gave for us, what he went through, he laid everything down. And like Peter, we like to say, you know, Lord, even if I got to die, I won't desert you. But the truth is, you know, we're just like Peter. And, you know, and we just got to say, Lord, increase it. We want to be more faithful today than we were yesterday. And tomorrow, more faithful than we were today. So let's that be the cry of our heart today. Lord, what can we do for you? You've done it all for us. You've equipped us. You've given us gifts and abilities. You opened doors for us. You've taken us through the fiery trials. Lord, you protected us from the fiery darts. And Lord, our heart cry out to what can we do for you? Well, Lord, we're going to offer up that sacrifice of praise in a few minutes. And Lord, may it be brought up to you. May it be that sweet aroma that Ricardo was mentioning. Lord, may it be from the deepest recesses of a grateful and thankful heart. Let it be filled with joy and with passion, Lord, as we come into your presence. Lord, our cry, what can we do for you? And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.